Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I would have dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Another faggot son of a bitch.
Joined by one of the original members of this show that helped me start it all, my original co-host, the Peace Machine. What's going on besides all the fucking wind in your fucking phone?
I'm standing completely still in my fucking kitchen. There's absolutely no
stop
wind
breathing.
In my phone.
Well, stop breathing into your speaker, goddammit. You're fucking up the show like you did that Shimmer one. We just started,
I
dude. Come on.
Are you fucking with me?
Well, it actually sounds better now, but for a few minutes there, it was kind of like that.
Oh,
that
really?
Pretty bad.
I had it on mute during the song.
Oh, well, maybe it was the mute that was doing it.
Yeah, maybe it was the mute that was doing it. All right, good. So what?
It would only be fitting that if on the 400th episode, you would like totally screw it up like you did for the first 50 episodes you were on the show.
Is that how many we did? 50? I think we did more
than
that.
That was pretty much, we did 50, and then we kind of had to change. And you quit on me because you're a quitter. You left
yeah,
me. You broke my heart.
Thing.
You left me hanging to dry. You left me in the hands of a southerner who sounds like he's the most fucking hillbilly person who ever lived.
Well, Ed, I'm going to tell you the real reason why I quit the drunk cast so many years ago. It was because I wanted to talk more. And I wanted to just do my own show where it would just be me talking and I wouldn't have to just constantly be interrupted by your dumbass.
Well, you've tried that like, what, 4 or 5 times and never lasted 50 episodes, so we know who carried this goddamn show.
I actually have no idea. I don't really remember why I had to quit. I think I was moving or something. Whatever. It doesn't matter. What? So did you have me on because it's the 400th episode, or did your fucking co-host bail?
Well, I haven't spoken to Craig, well, other than maybe a thing on Facebook here or there, but I haven't actually spoken to Craig in months. And I hear from Kurt Cotrer maybe once a month, maybe a month and a half. He got a night. He's working nights, so he can only do it in the morning. So we've done the occasional morning show. But, yeah, I haven't really heard from them. And I guess since it was the 400, I actually wanted to do something special, but I tried getting a few people on the show to no avail. And I figured, and you're making that noise again.
Does it stop?
It stops when you talk. It's when you're not talking. It's a problem.
I'm not doing anything.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
All right, hold on. Let me try it without the headphones. All right, can you hear me better?
Yeah, is your arm going to be all right holding your phone up for so long?
I think I'll make it.
All right, well, you sound
hold it up the old school way. Do motherfuckers even talk on the phone anymore? It's retarded. All these things are it's just passing notes in school. It's always become, it's just a fucking society that just passes notes all the days.
Yeah, well, the only time I actually seem to talk on the phone is when doing the show, honestly. Everything else is text or messaging.
You know, one of the reasons our show probably never took off as you know, as live audio content is probably because we picked a fucking terrible time slot. Friday at 8 o'clock is not a lot of people are available or want to be available. So, especially since the people were trying to get our wrestlers who are usually fucking booked on Friday nights. So,
yeah.
Next
so,
time,
anyway,
next
so.
Time we'll get, you know, it's a Thursday night.
Yeah. Well, before I get to, like, the fun and games of the show, I did actually have an announcement that I've been teasing on Twitter and on Facebook. And that is, what is the future of this show? Because, like I say, I haven't spoken to one of my co-hosts in months, and the other one pops in maybe every 6 weeks or so. So I have bad news for people, for the few that still listen to the show. You know, at one time we were doing thousands and thousands, and I have no clue. I don't, you know, I'm scared to even ask nowadays, but to the few people who are listening, this show is probably, as a weekly show, is done. I don't like doing shows by myself. Believe it or not, you actually kind of have a life, so I know, and if I asked you to do it full time, you might do it for a few weeks, but like every other show you've ever done, which is like 20, you'll quit, so that'll happen eventually. So, the show as a weekly show is done. The show as a bi-weekly show is done. I don't know if it would even be a monthly show. I still have an interview that I will be doing in a week or two with Pat LaPrade already set up. And, of course, if I go to a big show like Shimmer or WrestleMania Vegas, I still would want to talk about it. But as far as a weekly show, this is more of a now going to be a limited edition show that'll pop up here and there, but so I'm sorry to everyone who does still listen to the show weekly or whatever we've been doing lately, because it's been far from weekly. I apologize to BBJ and AngryMarks.com because they're completely some. I probably should have told him this sooner instead of having to listen to this on the fucking air. But sorry, Stevie, I had no idea what I was gonna say up until when this show started. So,
Stevie has a life. He's not listening.
Whatever. Stevie's still like the biggest fan of the show. I'm going to have to send him condolences and tell him to cheer up because I know he's going to be in bed crying and losing his mind at the flagship of AngryMarks.com, the greatest show in the history of the Angry Marks podcasting network, is not totally dead, but it's on its like last leg. So yeah, we'll be popping up from here to here to here or there. And like I say, pretty soon, actually, because I do have an interview scheduled to do with Pat LaPrade here pretty soon. As soon as he calms down from all his working, he was just in France working on the Andre the Giant documentary and stuff. So he'll be on soon. So I'm not totally gone yet, but as far as the weekly show, yeah, the show is pretty much kaput. You know, it was one thing when there were a million fucking podcasts by Joe Schmo because we were better than all of them. But
yeah.
Now, besides there being a million podcasts from a bunch of losers, there's a million podcasts from fucking every wrestler who ever wrestled. You know, Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Lance Storm, Taz, Bubba, Ray Dudley. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And, you know, even though most of them suck, they're still famous wrestlers, and people have listened to them before they listen to us. So, you know, that's another thing that's kind of killed the podcast. It's just all the has-been wrestlers who are living in our coattails from one of the original and almost awesome wrestling podcasts in the history of podcasts. So, basically, that's the history of the show. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad I'm on the last one. And I hope I played a big part. You know, I probably drove off as many listeners as I made, but yeah, I totally feel you on that shit, man. There's so many fucking podcasts now. I don't even listen to the ones that I used to like to listen to. I'm just like I'm just over it. Like everyone, you know, we can hold our head up high knowing that we never fucking did a plug for stamps.com or you know, fucking blueapron.com or audible.com. We never stoop to that low of doing those fucking horrible live reads. We also never made any money.
Dude, I was going to tell the story about my trip to Philadelphia, which I don't even know if you knew I went to Philadelphia last weekend, but on the way back to the airport, we had like a 2-hour drive, and after listening to the Observer, the guy, my friend driving, put on the Tom Pritchard show, the Bruce Pritchard show, which I never heard before. I just know that he always uses Dave as a gimmick to get listeners. But so he puts on this podcast. The first 9 fucking minutes are fucking commercials and plugs that they're doing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we didn't do that. I mean, if anything, you know, we purposely pissed people off. I mean, I got Gabe Sapolsky to the point. I got Gabe Sapolsky to the point where he went on Figure Four Daily and cried to Brian, like Brian was the principal, that Ed says mean things about him and stuff. So, you know, we didn't give a fuck who we pissed off
exactly.
At first. I do have people who tell me that they stopped listening to, or they much preferred the original Drunk Cast just because we did talk a little more shit. You know, we had Craig to start the show. You know, he's a little religious. He doesn't like to get a little crazy. So, but
I wish I was fully out of the atheist closet when I was on the show with Craig a few times, because I would have liked to have debated him. But anyway.
Yeah, and you know, throughout the 400 episodes, I got a guest list that I'll put against anybody's. You know,
yeah.
At least anybody's until Dave Meltzer joined the website.
Yeah, that's.
But true. You know, we were the only guys to get actual WWE contracted wrestlers on the show who weren't plugging a fucking movie or DVD or anything or a book tour, you know. And the show had a good run.
Yeah,
so,
and
you know,
it was also one of the things that made it, at least for me, I was drinking all the time. And so I literally was drunk most of the time. And so that made it really good. Regardless of what we did, and it helped me not bite my chin.
I was actually thinking about drinking today before the show, but I hadn't gotten a refill on my Matt Sydal charge cartridges until today, and the one I got was like super primo, and I don't really need any beer right now. This thing's got me high as shit. Did your buddy tell you all about our encounter a couple weeks ago?
I have no idea what you're talking about, so go ahead.
Oh, well, I mentioned my Evan Bourne vape pen, you know.
Wait, what happened? I have no idea.
I ran, I ran into Mr. Evan Bourne in Austin, Texas a few weeks ago at Wrestle Circus.
Oh, really? Okay. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they brought him in to job to the local kid that they're kind of giving a push to.
Hmm. Yep, that's going to be his role now.
Yeah. What do you mean now? I don't know if I've ever seen him in live win a match.
Yeah, he's an underdog that doesn't usually get the win. So, whatever. Someone's got to
lose.
Babyfaces always lose. Babyfaces are the jobbers until they get the comeback. So you just always saw him when he was on the heat building portion of the act.
Well, I saw him back when he was a bad guy teaming with, and he had a what the hell was her name? A pretty hot blonde with him, Lizzie something, Lizzie Valentine.
Gordon.
And he lost them too.
You mean he lost in the one match on fucking WSX? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. It was like, wasn't he like Jack the opening Evans match of the fucking thing?
Yeah, they wanted a hot start.
Yeah.
And he got a fucking crazy match.
And it went so high he never came back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, he came. He had a good match. He looked all right. And then toward the end of the night in the main event, the way this place is set up is they kind of have this like little area outside in the front kind of blocked off so you can go out there and buy. That's where they have the concessions, and that's where they put the gimmick tables out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they get to the main event, everyone slowly starts going out there. So I look, and there's glass doors on that side of the wall, basically. So I look out there, and I see him out there, and he's talking to somebody. Maybe it was Moose or somebody, but he kind of has the back to me. And the exit door was, like, right where we were sitting. So I just ran out to the exit door. And I got, like, right behind him. So as soon as he moved, he was going to bump into me. So we were talking for a minute. I'm standing there. And finally, he turns and bumps into me. And then he's kind of like he's kinda, you can tell he's kind of like, what the fuck? And then he sees me. And then I was like, hey. And so I gave him a hug. And then he just starts patting the shit, like, really hard, starts patting the shit out of me on my back. I think he was a little upset about it, but he was cool, you know, and I talked to him for quite a bit. And, you know, I don't want to indulge any, like, secrets of what we may or may not have done while we were talking out there. But, you know, that's between
me
and the Lord.
Indulge is not the word that you wanted there. No, it's not. But,
yeah. But, yeah, so I got to talk to him for a while. It was cool. And then the company, because they use a lot of Lance students, they flew in Lance just to watch the show. So I got to talk to old Lance for about a good 30, 40 minutes after the show while everybody's selling gimmicks.
What old Lance have to say?
Not too much, just that he's pretty, unless he wrestles Jericho, he's pretty much done as doing any more matches at all. Unless, like I told him, well, man, maybe you could do something for the convention against Tom Lawler. He's like, well, I go, if you don't want, you know, since you don't want Lance Storm to wrestle, how about the Ideal Canadian wrestle? And he actually said that he'd actually be up to that, because if he just doesn't want to train to look good, because he feels he has to look a certain way even though he's like fucking in his 40s. So as long as he doesn't have to train, he can wear a mask and a t-shirt or something to cover his non-existent fat stomach with that still probably chiseled that he still thinks he thinks he's fat now for some reason.
He'd be up to wrestle. Awesome shape 100% of the time. He's never out of shape.
Yeah.
And he thinks he needs to like get to like 6% body fat or something before people will accept him as Lance Storm. Like, hey, take a note from fucking Tommy Dreamer. Put on a garbage bag and duct tape it, and then put a t-shirt on over it.
Yeah, so that's what he said he'd be tempted to do here or there. But other than, like, just being Lance Storm, he's, you know, this is Chris Jericho, he says he's done. But that was cool. Actually going to Wrestling Circus this coming weekend, and then another Texas Indie show on Sunday, since I'm off on Sunday. So
Wrestling Circus is there again?
Yeah, they come once a month.
Oh, okay. I got you. I thought touring, like, autograph show. I didn't realize it was a wrestling show.
Oh, no. It's like an Austin-based independent. There's like three of them, and they all pretty much wrestle once a month.
I got you.
And Wrestle Circus is the one. Like the other ones, like ACW is the poor man's league in Austin, and they bring in a lot of just dudes working for free. Maybe they'll bring in a name or two.
So you're a regular at this Wrestle Circus.
For Wrestle Circus, yeah, I hit the other ones when I can,
okay.
But it's hard.
Okay,
hard to
but you're a regular at the Wrestle Circus. Right? That one's pretty popular right now. That one's like a PWG sort of thing right now. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, some people call it the PWG of the South, but it's nothing like PWG for the most. It's like,
I don't give a shit. I want you front and center every fucking show, and I want you to become the gimmick guy like ECW had the fan, you know, the two dorks with the fucking Hawaiian hats and the Hawaiian t-shirts. Remember those clowns?
See, that entails me to spend like, they're going to have Cody Rhodes on in a couple months, and the front row tickets for that were $100. Sorry, but I'm only springing for general admission on these shows. But on the last one,
Ed, come on, you're Ed. You're a member of the media. You are a member of the media. I mean, after this tonight, you're not. But nobody'd ask to know that. You gotta weasel your way down there, man. I need you to become the fucking gimmick fan because I'm obsessed with this one guy on WWE. You watch the pay-per-views, you watch or whatever the hell they call them. Every big show, this dude is there. You might even know what I'm talking about. He's like a tall, skinny guy, and he always wears like a white button-up shirt, and he's got long, straight brown hair and a big old pointy nose, and he's always there, front and center, if not that, pretty close. But he's always there with like an 80-year-old woman. And I've got to know their relationship. They're at every single fucking show. And I would love for you to become that for Wrestle Circus. I think that'd be a good role for you. You know, people could come by and chop the shit out of you. And, you know, occasionally they could dive on you. Or you could be the guy that gets the soda thrown in his face. You know, that sort of thing.
I'm that guy at the Shimmer show. So I'm already exclusive to Dave Prazak. Like I was viciously attacked at the last Shimmer show.
That's not like a weekly indie though. That's like a touring show. Like that's like the weird DVD tapings. Like, I mean, all right, fine, we can do it on that show. That's fine. But you got to start buying better tickets. You got to get up front, and we got to come up with a gimmick for you. That's the thing. What do you think?
I don't need no fucking gimmick. I am my own gimmick.
Yeah, you do. Like suspenders or something. Yeah, fuck. We want people to recognize you. We want you to become famous.
How about I just go with a suck on my dick like Brian Kendrick did a few times?
In the crowd?
Yeah. Everyone
yeah,
can rub
yeah,
my
I
fat
mean,
belly.
If that's what you want to go with, you're the gimmick. You could be the, you know... Well, I mean, you'd be pretty – you'd be well-known very fast if you were the guy who set up with a sock on his cock.
Well, I'll bring it up to the promoter on Sunday, but I don't think he's going to go for it because he has a really hot wife that's there, and, you know, he might, you know, think I'm going to steal her away if I'm there all naked and stuff. So, but I'll
all right, well, then we need a backup gimmick. We need a backup gimmick. How about pirate? How about you just wear an eye patch?
How about a puffy shirt like Stankfield?
That's not a bad one. That's not a bad one. How many puppy shirts
or
do you have?
I could get some fucking I could get some old parachute pants and go like the Michael Jackson dude.
No, nobody cares about your pants. It's got to be an upper body thing because you're going to be blocked by the guardrail most of the time. No, like you need like a bolo tie or maybe like a Cub Scout bandana, a kerchief, maybe an ascot.
And that would be glasses, pretty cool.
Right? You need to get a monocle. Get a monocle. Yeah, you could be like the uppity wrestling fan.
I can only see fucking the wrestling out of one eye because I'm fucking completely blind if I don't have my glasses on. I'll be looking the opposite way of the ring thinking I'm seeing shit.
You don't have to wear it the whole time. Just, you know, at the start when they pan past you, you know, that sort of thing.
One of the wrestlers has that gimmick. Fucking Jarvis Cottonbelly Russell. He has a fucking monocle.
Oh, he does? Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
All right.
And
he's
got fucking hair on his belly, so it's not like I can go naked because he's already got a hairy belly. So what the fuck? He's already selling two of our ideas before we even thought about them.
Okay. How about a beanie? You could wear a beanie.
Yeah. A beanie.
Yeah.
I don't
like a
it's fucking no, it, like it, one Texas, of those... it's 104 degrees and you want me to wear a fucking beanie. You're fucking stupid.
No, I want you to wear one of those spinner beanies that like Tweedledee and Tweedledum wore. Yes.
It's still a beanie.
No. Okay.
No.
All right, no hats. No hats because it's too hot. Hmm.
I don't like hats.
Yeah. Maybe the kerchief. The kerchief. How many scarves do you have at your house?
How many what?
Scarves.
Scarves.
Yeah.
Still jerk with you. I mean, come on.
Oh, God damn it. All right, yeah. Plus, you don't have any scarves.
I can't even be a fucking T-Rex because some dude snuck a T-Rex costume into WrestleMania and got photos all over the place. So that's how it's
really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Hook hand. No, that's still the pirate thing. Damn. We need something. I'll keep working on it.
Well, keep thinking about it. You got till tomorrow to come up with something good.
Okay.
It only lands in tomorrow. Don't even matter because we got general admission anyway.
Oh. Well, see if you can weasel your way up front. Did you know the fan I was describing, or do you have no idea?
Well, you did such a horrible job describing him. No, but I've probably seen the dude.
I gave you a very accurate description. He's a very plain-looking white guy with long, straight hair, a big, pointy nose, kind of looks like a witch, and he's sitting next to an 80-year-old woman, and he's at every fucking pay-per-view for the last 2 or 3 years.
There's also a bunch of dudes. There's that Rob Zombie kind of looking dude that's at all the shows. Ivan is at a bunch of shows. That one older couple that shows up at some of the WrestleMania conventions that wear the pink fluorescent jacket, and his wife, they're, you know, it could be them. So it's not like one person has that gimmick of being at all the shows. So.
Yeah, I know. But I just think it'd suit you well. I think you could do it better than anyone, my man. You can be the guy.
I'm already kind of known as the Leva Bates stalker there since she's on all the shows.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, that's
maybe
that's,
next
that's
time I can actually grab her and throw her over my shoulder and run out the ring and make more of a, you know, play it up a little more.
Yeah. Remember when you had tickets behind the Raw announce table?
Yeah, back when old Evan had a job back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
There's a gif of me shooting the basketball when I was imitating MVP in my purple shirt.
Oh, I didn't see that. But I do remember seeing you on Monday Night Raw as you were taking a photo of something with your camera, and then I paused it and took a photo of the television screen and sent it to you seconds after you had taken the photo. You remember that?
Yeah.
Best idea ever.
Yeah. And I got you back when you and Jen and Rodney and a bunch of people went to the Royal Rumble and I was mass texting you all fucking Randy Orton lyric and shit.
Yes, that was annoying as shit.
Yeah. But anyway, I went on a trip last weekend and a lot of shit happened. So you want to know what the fuck happened on my trip?
Man, there's nothing more I'd like to do than hear about your trip to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I would imagine since you know you kiss ass to all the people in ROH that you've been there before.
I've been to Philadelphia a few times. Yes.
Okay. Well. You remember years ago when we started the show and fucking Charlie called in drunk and invited me to Vegas for UFC? I just had to pay for my airfare and everything else was going to be on him.
I remember that story.
Motherfucker, you were co-hosting the show when his drunk ass called in and was all fucking drunk and asked me to go to Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. I thought you were talking about... Never mind. I confused stories. But yes, I do remember when Charlie called in.
Well, basically, that kind of happened again, because there's another show that I go on. When I go to the wrestlers, there's an indie show. I don't want to because of the story I'm going to tell, I'm going to not divulge any names of the show or the guys, but probably figure it out just because of the content of the stories I'm going to tell here. But there's this indie show that I go on, and I do reviews of the shows when I go to.
Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. When you get to a point where you need to say somebody's name, like, but you're going to try to cover it up, you let me fill in the name.
Okay,
go.
So my two friends, go ahead.
Daryl and Hannah.
Okay. My two friends who do an indie show that I come out on at the Wrestle Circus and other indie shows or Shimmer or whatever, invited me up to their neck of the woods, which is not technically Philadelphia, but Wilkesboro area. And the reason they invited me is because they were going to go to an indie show, and Blue Pants was happening to be on the show. So they were asking me if I wanted to go. They said, I guess if I flew up there, they'd take care of me. They'd get me beer. They'd get me weed. They'd help with the food, so-and-so. So I wasn't going to do it, but then I realized the next day was her birthday. So, you know, being the scheming person that I am, I decided, hey, I'm going to be the first person to wish her a happy birthday. So, of course, I'd like to go hang out somewhere for the weekend. That'd be cool. So I get on a plane, Philadelphia, and right off the bat, my one friend picks me up at the airport. Go ahead.
Steve.
Yeah, Steve picks me up at the airport. So then we leave the airport, and he takes me to all the sites. Like, we drove by the new arena, the new basketball arena, the new football stadium, passed by where the Spectrum used to be. And then, go ahead.
Gary
took me to the ECW Travel Lodge, the hotel where all the ECW wrestlers used to go and stay, and they do promos, and they do a bunch of drugs, and they fuck a bunch of rats. And I was looking around for rats and drugs, but I didn't see any in the few minutes that we were there. So then, go ahead.
Rene Dupree.
So then Rene Dupree takes me to the actual ECW arena, or where it used to be the ECW arena. So I got to check out that. And then
Hurricane Helms.
Then Hurricane Helms took me to the Murphy Rec Center, where ROH had done shows, and I guess maybe you've been there. Is that where you've been? Okay, yeah. So we went there, and then after that, I've always heard
Chris
about
Benoit.
This street. Okay, then Chris Benoit took me to the street where there are these two famous cheesesteak places on each end of the block. There's Pat's and there's Gino's. So me and
Pablo.
And me and Pablo went to, well, me mainly, because he only had one at Pat's, but I went and I got a steak sandwich from Gino's, and then we went and ate at Pat's. And then, I took the other one to go. So I got to eat the two famous cheesesteaks there, and they were pretty damn good. So then
Larry
takes me to the Rocky Steps, and where the Rocky statue is. So I went and took a photo of the Rocky statue, and I went and I put my arms up like Rocky and took a photo, but then I realized my belly was kind of showing, so I didn't really post those yet. So maybe I'll do that some other time. So then me and
Baba Booey.
Yeah, me and that dude went to the actual steps, and I took a photo of the steps, and I said I'm going to run up these motherfuckers. And then I had to post a photo of me sitting there halfway, sucking some wind, because I couldn't do it all on one shot. And then I was photobombed, because there was a bunch of kids at the top, and they all decided to run down to their buses. And one of them jumped next to me to take a photo when I was taking the photo of me sucking air and photobombed my ass. Fucking cool little bastard. I got to give him credit for that. That was awesome. And then I finally made it to the Rocky Steps, and I took a photo with my hands in the air, and then one where I'm about to die. And luckily this time not that much of my belly was showing, so I actually pulled it down. So
see, everyone goes for the hands in the air shot. You know, when I went there, I did a little different. I did me giving Rocky a blowjob shot. I thought that was a little classier, you know. Oh, it played out. Everyone with the hands in the air. You know, go fake blowjob. I think that's where it's at.
Maybe that might work for you, but not for normal people. But one thing I did notice that out there at this tourist trap is that there was a bunch of Segway gangs. You know what Segway is, right? Those. You ever been at the mall and the dude's got that thing where he's standing straight up and it's like fucking got wheels and it moves him around?
You mean walking for lazy people?
Yeah, walking for like Paul Bart, the mall cop. You seen that movie?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Okay. Well, there were gangs, you know, of these things, dude. I mean, it was really dangerous. You know, we didn't want to upset the Segway gangs. And not just guys, it was a girl Segway gang.
Like literally
gang
members.
There'd be like 15 of them.
But not, are you talking there'd like be, Bloods and Crips, like fucking throwing down like Compton style on their fucking Segways?
Well, they were better dressed, but there were like 15 of them in their Segways. And I know if you fucking, hey, Segway faggot, they'd fucking want to whoop your ass and shit. So that's a gang to me.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. But I mean, like, were they
repping colors? So anyway, after that, the gag only works if you're on cue.
Stephanie McMahon.
Okay, so then Stephanie McMahon drove me to Wilkes-Barre, where we hung out and watched some. We were unsuccessful the first night in trying to hook up my friend.
Randy Macho Man Savage.
Randy Macho Man Savage just could not hook up the Roku to the TV, so we had to watch some hardcore homecoming and some other shit on his little iPad thing or whatever. That was the first night. Oh, and we had pizza. My friend.
Brian Adams
ordered pizza from this place called Angelo's, and this was the best pizza I ever had in my life, and it was just a cheese pizza with sweet sauce, and I don't even like cheese pizzas, but this was the best goddamn pizza I ever had. But anyway, so Tuesday, Mike Awesome and Daniel Benoit pick me up, and we go to, because the show with Blue Pants is not in Wilkesboro, it's down the road like an hour away. So Mike Awesome's driving, and Daniel Benoit's in the back. So we're smoking some weed on the way to the show, right?
And yeah, then the story's amazing.
And then a state trooper passes us by. He gets a little ahead of us. And then, you know, we don't think nothing of it. Then he pulls over to the side like he's going to stop to wait for someone to fuck around. So we drive by, and we continue smoking the pipes. And then my friend tells me to put it down. And then I kind of look in the mirror, and I can see the cop.
Nicole Bass.
Right fucking, Nicole Bass told me to put the pipe down because the cop's right behind us, and he's pulling us over.
Oh, fuck.
So we're in the fucking country. We're in the fucking country on a fucking highway in another state that I've never been to in all my life. I got like maybe $200 on me. And I'm thinking, fuck, I'm going to jail, dude. So the cop comes up to the window and he starts talking to
China.
And he's asking China what's going on, that he pulled us over because his tent is too dark, and they're checking everybody with dark tents. And then he kind of fucking bent over his nose, kind of waving, and asked my friend.
Jimmy Snuka.
That's fucking funny, because we were probably fucking 5 miles away from where he killed that bitch.
Really? Allegedly.
So Jimmy Snuka gets out of the car, you know, not far from where he killed the bitch. And so I'm sitting in there with my other friend.
Jamal, or Rosie, whichever one's dead.
From Rosie. And so we're sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I didn't bring all of my shit with me. I had just brought, like, a nug, and I had already smoked half of it. So I just had, like, a little thing, this tiny little thing. So I just kind of crushed it up. And, just kind of got rid of it. And the bag that I had put it in, it wasn't a typical sandwich bag, so it wasn't going to be suspicious, so I just dropped that. But the pipe was on my side of the fucking chair. So the dude's talking to my friend.
Chavo Guerrero Sr.,
Chavo Classic. And at first I think maybe he's going to let him off, but then I can tell they're arresting him. And they go in, they put him in the car, and then they come to talk to me. And they go, I need you guys to get out of the car. He's, y'all don't have anything on you, do you? I'm like, I don't have anything on me. Search my pockets. They search my friend.
John Cronus.
John Cronus. And they check his pockets and he gets out of the car. And then they proceed to search
Big Boss Man.
Big Boss Man's car. And right off the bat, you can see them pull out a jar of some weed and the pipe and they're finding all this shit. And then there's another cop that looks like he's fucking 18 years old starts trying to talk to us to see if I guess we were stoned or whatever. So right off the bat, I'm like, yeah, I'm from Texas. I'm only here from the weekend. I just came down here to see my friend Russell. It's her I'm doing everything I can to make this motherfucker feel sorry for me and be like, okay, let's give this dude a break because he's fucked because he has $200 in his pocket and he's far away from home. So right. they search the car, and then they come and they tell us that we can get back in the car. And they gave us an address, and they told us that we could pick up
Axel Rotten,
after they take him to get drug tested and fingerprinted. So we go, and we're waiting there, and I text Blue Pants saying, I don't even know if I'm going to make it to the show. Almost got arrested and shit. So after about an hour of waiting, they finally let
Chris Canyon
out of the car, and we get in the car and we go to the wrestling show and made it there on time to see Blue Pants Russell and talk to Blue Pants for a few minutes, wish her a happy birthday, give her this brownie that I had bought at a Friday's that I had in a bag when I left the freaking hotel, but the cops stole my bag and they put all the freaking evidence in the bag and they stole my fucking thing, so I had to give her it in this other bag that had about 4 monsters in it that I gave her. So, but, you know, at least we accomplished. We got to where we were going, and then we went, and I got another one of those pizzas, but this time with, like, 6 toppings on it, and that was the end of night two. So, luckily, I didn't get arrested, but, like, it was pretty scary there, fucking standing on the side of the highway with fucking... And then it wasn't just, like, the one car. Like, 3 other cars pulled up. Like, you know, we were fucking a gang or something and shit. So it was
here's the error in the police's plan here. This is the big, like, what the fuck? Okay, so what was their plan there? They pulled over a guy. I have no idea why because his windows were too tinted, and that looked suspicious. And then I guess they smelled weed, and so they arrested him on suspicion of DUI or something. But then they're just like, all right, you 2 yahoos in the car who weren't driving, I'm sure you guys are sober. Go ahead and drive and pick up your buddy in a fucking couple hours after he makes bail. Like, do you really care about preventing DUI or you just fucking assholes looking to pop some kids with fucking pot?
Kind of like that. The officer told my friend – told my friend, come on, you're killing your own gimmick.
I can't think of any more. Carl Gotch.
All right, Carl Gotch. He told Carl Gotch that he really didn't even give a fuck about weed, but since he was driving under the influence, that was the thing that he couldn't allow. So that's why they only fucked with him, because he was driving, even though we were, or
yeah,
I was. The
you
guy
guys
were going to
drive his car, right?
Yeah.
You guys drove his car.
Yeah.
Did he think that he was the only one smoking pot in the car?
I guess they figured we got scared sober, so it would be all right to drive.
That's my point. My friends have told me about when they've gotten DWIs, and like they're like, just give the keys to the other guy who was like fucking was the more drunker. That's why he's the one not driving. I was like, what do you really care about? I don't know.
Yeah. It was Operation Nighthawk, anyway, so I guess they had to get somebody.
Yeah, that's whatever. It's not about safety. Anyway, continue the story.
Yeah, well, that was pretty much it for Saturday night. Sunday night, we finally got the Roku working. We watched Jinder Mahal become the new WWE champion. And that was pretty much it. Then the next day, drove 2 hours from Wilkesboro to the Philly airport, fly to Orlando, and then finally made it home. This is like 10 hours travel total, so that kind of sucked. But
yeah.
Fun trip. had plenty of ambiance with me thinking I'm going to go to jail and fucking bumfuck. And even if they would have arrested us, it would have took like fucking an hour. I mean, like I say, you know, like, it's not like it was getting arrested in the big city where they take 3 hours to process your ass, send you upstairs, and 3 hours to process your ass out. Not to mention all the time you got to stay at the magistrate before they take you to jail. So it wasn't like that, thankfully. We got there. We still made the show. So that was pretty cool. So
did you see Takeover?
Fun trip. No, because that's when we were fucking almost getting arrested and going to see Blue Pants.
No, I know, but did you watch it since?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. All right. Well, then what do you think of Backlash? What do you think of them putting the strap on the Hall?
I don't know. They've done worse. Jack Swagger was a champion at one time.
Yeah, he was never going to get over because he fucking has a speech impediment. I can't believe he's still on the contract.
He's not. He's working in these.
Yeah. Oh, well, he was under contract for a long-ass time. He shouldn't have been. But, no, I like putting the belt on Mahal. I think he looks legit. People have forgiven the 3MB stuff for whatever reason. And I don't know. I think he's taken the character real seriously. And I mean, fuck, man. It's better than just keeping it on Randy Orton for the 35th time.
You're still just a homosexual, and he has a good body, and you like him. That's why you like him, because of that. Something's never changed.
He doesn't have a better body than Orton.
He's got like a million veins popping out like the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely leaner, but he's not nearly as big as Randy.
Well, I figured you know, you've taken it from behind from Randy for so many times that you know, you want somebody new.
I'm also happy that they're trying something different. You know, I was like, fuck, what are they going to do? Is going to keep it with Orton, or are they just going to go back down to whoever he was with before, Bray or somebody?
Yeah, it is different, that's for sure. So,
yeah,
it was so. I mean, I wasn't bored, but it's not like it was the greatest pay per view I've ever seen or anything.
No, certainly not. Although I did enjoy, everyone said that Nakamura's match sucked. I thought it was good. I mean, that was actually the first Nakamura match I've ever seen, but I thought it was good.
Well, that's probably why he thought it was good, because you haven't seen any other matches. But he's extending his career a lot longer because he don't do shit compared to what he used to do, but which is smart, I guess. Get paid and do as little as you need to do.
I mean, he's, you know, I kind of like don't get it. I'm like, well, what's the king of the strong style shit? Like he's just working a regular match.
He did some MMA. Like he did some MMA in the past, so I guess that's why they kind of. And plus, like I guess when he does knee people, he needs the shit out of them. So I guess that's what they mean.
I was looking. He didn't need the shit out of AJ. I mean, those are pretty safe knees. But
well,
I guess
AJ,
he probably did.
Stupid.
Well, didn't he? I mean, in Japan, did he just need a fuck out of people?
Kinda.
Yeah.
But you know, this new term, strong style, is kind of bullshit. Because I remember way back in the day, I saw a GIF today of Harley Race in the WWE against Ming, and they were doing straight on headbutts with no protection. So. Strong style,
yeah,
or whatever you call it, it's been around for a long, long, long fucking time. It's nothing new.
Oh,
honestly.
Yeah, for sure. It just means
now they're just
working
now they're just stupid
sick
about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Not. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense to me to like say like strong style is like fucking breaking kayfabe. Like saying that, like that term is like, oh, this guy hits really hard in this world of fake hitting. Like that's what that implies, is that it's so retarded that they would give him that gimmick. So within the WWE parlance, what the fuck could it mean?
Who knows? It's just an excuse to sell a new shirt with a new phrase on there.
Oh, okay. And what is the goddamn Usos thing? What is that?
What do you mean?
Day one-ish? What is that?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
The Usos have like this sweatshirt. It says, it's like, it looks like the Run DMC shirts. And it's,
uh-huh,
it's nine letters. It says day, then the number, or six letters, D-A-Y, and then O, no, I guess it's nine, O-N-E, and then I-S-H, like in a cube or in a square.
I have no idea. I didn't even notice that on the pay-per-view, and I hardly ever watch SmackDown.
Well, I haven't watched anything, but I just wanted to know. Well, I assumed it was something stupid that, like, children were now saying, and I was going to have to hear it. But
I'm
guess you don't know what it
than,
is
I'm
either.
Older than you. How am I supposed to know what the new kids are saying and shit?
I don't know.
I thought they explained it in WWE.
I think they don't explain shit in WWE.
That's the fucked up part. You never know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, I know. But I thought maybe, like, Michael Cole's like, day one-ish, that's the hashtag fucking that President Trump tweeted or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Speaking of Donald Trump, one time me and Couture were doing a morning show and some lady called in. Uh-huh. And I don't want to say she got all racist because she didn't get all racist, but all she wanted to see in wrestling was all racist shit. Like, she wanted to see a Donald Trump-type dude gimmick talking about building
like
a wall
wanted,
and taking the Mexicans out and
she wanted
and
to see, like, lynchings
stuff.
And things.
Yeah. You would have loved her if you would have been on when she called.
Jesus. Nah, I'm not racist. I just want every angle to be racist.
Well, wrestling was a lot better when everything was all racist. You know, back when Kilo Santana was doing the flying burrito.
Oh, when you were your character was just your ethnicity. Like if you're from Italy, you're just like a pizza pie flinging Guido.
No, if you were Italian, you were like Chief Day Strongbro when you were a fucking Native American Indian.
Oh. It didn't matter.
Somehow Italians can fucking pass off for Indian.
Mm. Well, fooled me.
And my brother says Tonto from the original Long Rangers was Italian. So I guess maybe Italians do look like Indians.
Yeah, I guess so.
But anyway, we got like 6 minutes here. Let me throw out the plugs because this might be the last time, so see if we don't get mad. Everyone Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream a lot of shows at angrymarks.com, like the Angry Marks Show and a whole lot of other stuff. Check out angrymarks.com. You can also find us on iTunes at keyword Angry Marks. You can also check us out at blogtalkradio.com/Couture and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo. And do you have anything you want to plug? Probably not, yeah.
Yeah, I want to thank Art Barr, Dennis Stamp, Crash Holly, Gorgeous George, Hector Garza, Jackie Fargo, Dusty Rhodes, and Eddie Guerrero. Thank you, guys. You guys made wrestling an awesome time for everyone.
Like you ever watched Jackie Fargo.
I have no idea who that is. I'm sorry that the show's coming to a close. I always enjoy doing it. My goal whenever I come on the show is to derail you. And I usually do a pretty good job of that.
You've never derailed me in your life.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm always on top of things. Okay, time when we were having a debate with Brian for King of the Board and you're supposed to help me and you're fucking peeing in the sink, okay, that threw me off a little bit.
When I was doing what?
You fucking peed in the sink while you're moderating this debate between me and Brian.
Hey, I got news for you. I peed in the sink in every episode.
It wasn't as bad as when fucking Jimmy Jacobs flustered your ass and you fucking lost, kind of didn't know what the fuck was going on when we interviewed Jimmy Jacobs and then we're going to do Lance for the first time and Jimmy didn't hang the fuck up and kept talking and...
Oh, yeah. We didn't know how to fucking get him off the phone.
Yelling at him and telling him to shut up.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. Man, what else was fun?
Remember when me and Austin Aries agreed to have a smoking date on the radio? That was on live radio. That was pretty cool.
He used to be a fucking clusterfuck. Didn't I do one from a Halloween party?
Yeah, and you had all these girls on the show, and then fucking Couture had to get all fucking pervy and fucking scared them off, and they didn't want to be on the air no more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good times. You guys wonder why you don't relate.
Remember when we were talking about anal sex with Jen and Julie? That was
funny. See, this is what you guys were missing. Go back and listen to those shows. You can listen to girls actually comment on what they think about anal sex.
Yeah. We talked about doing an interview with Roddy, and all we did was insult each other for like fucking 40 minutes. That was.
Yeah, I remember that.
Roddy doesn't like fat people, even though he used to be a fat person.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We had Alicia Fox talking about balls. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. who else? I think we had Nigel a couple times.
Yeah, Nigel was cool. We had everybody fucking at one. We had the entire ROH roster at one time. It seemed like.
Oh yeah, we had Brian Danielson on.
Yeah,
that was probably cool. One of the first shows he ever did.
I was in Vegas at the time.
Claudio Castagnoli. Yeah.
Remember when Aries put the Jimmy Jacobs thing and he didn't hang up because he wanted to see we were talking shit about him after the interview?
Yeah. I would do that immediately after the interview. That would be so stupid. They got that asshole off the line.
Right. But, yeah, we had a good little run. 400 episodes,
yeah,
I guess, you know, that's like 8 years, and considering we didn't do a show every week, especially like this past year, it's probably been like 9 or 10 years, so there's only so much you could fucking talk about, so.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm lazy, and I don't like trying to set up interviews. It fucking sucks. So,
this does fucking suck.
Yeah, I do have an interview coming up with Pat LaPrade, maybe in a week or two. And then after that, like I say, it'll be very sporadic, but I will pop up every now and then. And so I'm going to go ahead and end tonight's show, but I'm going to play something for you if I can fucking find it. And... To our greatest regular caller we ever had, even though it's been a long time since he's called in. Here it is.
Johnny Ringo.
What's going on, John?
I love you, Johnny Ringo.
You must be Ringo.
Keep your hand on your gun.
Johnny Ringo. That's the deadliest pistol there since Wild Bill.
Damn, what was his name again?
Johnny Ringo. Johnny Ringo, are you still on the line?
The story spread throughout the land that I had beaten Ringo's hand. And it was just the years, they say, that made me put my guns away. But on his grave, they can't explain the tarnished star above the name of Ringo.
Well, I would like to say that I hate everyone more now than ever before, except Johnny Ringo. He's the only guy that I like.
Hey, this is Johnny Ringo. How are y'all?